Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/thescope. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that can get that spot out of the carpet. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
Once again, we catch up from a long break. It's time to talk about summer movies. And Shane attempts to grow a Tony Stark goatee to win back his daughter's love.
And now, here are your hosts, Jarrett, Adam, and Shane.
Hey there, Scope faithful. Shane in the hizzy for shizzy. Jared and Adam also here for, by my calculations, the 139th edition and our standard counting of the Scope program.
Right. There's also, this is also a milestone for another reason, Shane.
Go ahead.
This marks the first episode in our 7th year of production of the Scope.
7th year, Adam. Like, we look at each other and we laugh. Like,
we are in our 7th year.
And the rate we're
going... completed 6 years of this sham.
It is a sham. You're absolutely right.
We are now in our 7th year.
And to keep up tradition, for the 7th year, we're only going to do 3 episodes. That's how... because we
per
have
year?
Per year. That's it. Well, we have such long
down.
Breaks.
When a podcast gets long in the tooth like this one, you've got to slow down.
You got to leave...
you might break a hip.
You got to leave them wanting for more. Well, that's very exciting. Congratulations, you two.
To all of us.
Adam, thank you for being here for 1/3 of those episodes.
You're welcome.
He's very, very into it. He's surfing the web.
I'm trying really hard to make up for my huge mistake that will come up later in the episode.
It's all right.
Let's talk. I mean, we've got a lot of show coming up at us, but let's talk about something that's been affecting our lives now for, it feels like, 18 months, and that's the weather.
I thought you were going to say the smell.
I was
going
to say
sequestration talk?
I was going to say Adam's herpes breakout.
Oh, Adam, you got to tell people about that.
I mean, I feel bad that I've been rubbing my mouth all over the spit guard.
You're the only one who uses it. Okay.
When you leave, Jared actually gets like a big plastic garbage bag, just immediately just puts it right over your mic stand. Puts it in the corner of the basement and then just unleashes it later.
What's the name of that herpes medication they advertise on TV? Maybe we can get them to sponsor. Is it Lamisil?
Herpaway.
Herpesin.
It's Herpaway.
Herpaway.
Herpes Simplex 10, to quote Eddie Murphy.
A little Beverly Hills Cop action there.
Yeah, so the weather, for those of you that don't know, we are, I think, meteorologically speaking, we are in the 6th week of spring.
Fuck you.
And I think that we've had maybe 5 days over 60 in that time. I mean, it's been insane. Earlier in the week, a good portion of Minnesota, which could have very well hit the Twin Cities. They weren't off by much. They're digging out from 18 inches of snow. Keep in mind...
Well, don't forget, earlier in this week, we were in the 70s.
Yeah.
Nearing 80, if maybe we even hit 80 in pockets. And for like Sunday, Monday. And then Tuesday even was pretty warm. And it just started to plummet.
And it dropped. Yeah. Keep in mind that for at least Minneapolis, I think the record snowfall for May, I think total is 3 inches, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
3 inches for the month. And some places in Minnesota, 30 miles away from us, are digging out a foot and a half of snow. That's very unusual. And
I feel silly. I feel like it's like, you know, when people that are not from here, they like, you know, someone like mentions Minnesota or Minneapolis, like, oh yeah, probably snows there like in June and
it's
July.
It's all the time.
Right? Yeah. And we're like, no, it's not that bad.
No, they're right. They're right.
Yes,
I've heard that this is maybe due to the rise in the global temperature is actually melting the polar ice caps, which is causing more Arctic air to push south. And that's what's causing us to have this cold, unseasonable
weather. Thanks, Al Gore.
That's just crazy.
I'm just saying, it's all related. So people say...
Wait a second. Global warming is actually making it cooler for us? I can't wrap my head around that.
Whatever. It snowed in Texas, so it's obviously colder.
Something's going on.
Global warming is not real.
Yeah, it's been a rough stretch. Even I try not to let my life be ruled by weather and not try to get
Jared taunts me on I am all the time about it.
I try not to get too upset about it because there's really nothing I can do about it. But even this has tested my patience.
I've made
several "I will not shovel" proclamations, both online and off.
But yet you probably had to shovel at least on one of those proclamations.
A few weeks ago I did, yes. But this last bout that we got a little bit of, no.
Yeah, it's unusual to get snow late in April, mm-hmm. at least to the amount we've got. But the fact that a swath of 1 foot plus snow hitting is just mind-boggling. And you can feel it with the general population, can't you? I mean, people are just weary and beaten down by it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the time where everybody likes to get out and work on their yards and get the lawn furniture out.
I don't like to work on my yard. I know it's a necessity.
It's time of the year where people don't like to, but still have to. Got to rake a little bit. And Adam's going to have to do that.
Fuck.
That's the big news.
Yeah.
Weather or something, but Adam Sitnik is finally being made an honest man.
Hmm.
Or somewhat honest. He's buying a house, everybody.
You know, in some civilizations, that would confer on you the right to actually vote.
I can already vote.
I'm saying that, you know...
Can he vote well,
hundreds of years ago, you may not have had voting power unless you were a property owner.
I'm also a lady, so that's not helping my voting.
So, Adam, tell me, how long has the house search been going on? Tell us a little bit about this house, this so-called house that you've purchased.
In my so-called house.
How many bedrooms? When is the kegger? Yeah. Let's get into details.
When is the housewarming party that we're not invited to going to happen?
Can you just keep asking questions instead, and then I won't have to answer any?
Shane, can we keep asking questions? I'm pretty sure.
I don't know if it's possible. Adam, what do you think?
At least one more. Come on.
Baba booey to y'all.
Some might say that this house search has been going on forever.
Some might say. It's the dawn of time.
I'd say it's probably...
Are these the same sources that are supplying credible news to Fox?
Well, here's the thing. When I searched on Yahoo Answers...
Sorry, that deserves that.
They sourced it, and they said, I'm the one.
What about Angie's List? What does that say about it? Come on, we're doing a show.
I'm getting text
messages. We're doing a show here. Come on.
Phone's going off.
Okay, so it's probably been not a month, less than a month.
Yeah.
And
the housing market's hot, Adam.
Well, the housing market is weird in our area.
Tell me.
Because our range is not high. We, you know, have okay money for a down payment.
$16,000, Jared, is their range.
Right. So we're moving to Osseo. I'll see you guys.
I used to almost live in Osseo. All right. You don't want to live there.
I work in Blaine. I know where I don't want to work.
That's like the Northwest edition of Blaine.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So
Minnesota geography humor there.
Yeah. If you are trying to sell a house that is nice looking for under $250,000, I would say you could do that very easily.
Do you think I could sell my house pretty fast?
Well, you're close to South Minneapolis. So we looked a lot in South Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of not like on Hiawatha or anything, but, you know, like within 7-10 blocks. And we were looking at 250 and lower. And we'd go to a couple houses that had been on the market for a day. And they'd be like, well, it already have four offers.
That's like when we were buying houses in the early 2000s.
Yeah. But they're still way under the value or the price that they were. So, like, if you cross that 250 threshold, people are like, nope. And then stuff just sits on the market.
Gotcha.
So the cheaper, smaller, but well-put-together homes are just going in an instant.
So let me ask you a question.
Oh, it's a buyer's market, sure.
What is the standard now for a down payment on a house?
Well, I don't know what the standard is. We have 20%. So we are...
Wow, you have a lot of money saved.
Let's
crunch some numbers here, Jared. If they're looking at around $200,000,
mm-hmm. Yep.
So you've got 20%.
I thought they were looking at 250.
I'm going to say
$200,000. We'll just keep it easy.
$200,000. Okay. So that means 10% of that mm-hmm. would be.
Oh God, I can't believe how long this starts taking.
$180,000.
Hey, let's focus. Let's stop focusing.
You have $180,000 saved. How did you do that?
And I really just didn't want to buy the whole thing outright. So I was like, let's finance at least a little to throw.
How
money
long
away.
Have you been saving this?
You can't build the credit rating unless you've taken out credit.
Do you remember what religion I come from?
Okay. So Adam's been saving.
He's been saving since he was conceived.
When was Moses put down the river?
So Adam is like 32 years old. How old are you, Adam?
32 years old.
He's 32 years old. He's been saving for 30 years for this house, and he's saving $180,000, Jared. How much money is he saving?
Compounding interest. You'll never figure this out.
I say $17 a year. That's my final.
Probably right.
$17 a year, and you've got this house. So, but you've got money, and your lady friend also is putting money into this, right? Or is she putting all the burden on you?
It's our burden.
Is it equal? Did you both save the same amount?
I don't know. We don't like talking about money, and I definitely don't like talking about money to strangers.
Are you sure?
There might be some, but keep going with
this.
There might
be some financial planners in the audience who can help you out.
I'm just wondering if I need to
buy a house. We're editing all this out.
Can you buy a house with 10% down?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know what we have.
All right. Calm down. Calm down.
So it is a buyer's market, but it's not a buyer's market if you don't want to pay full price. You know, it's like...
It's a buyer's and a seller's market.
And a very narrow range.
Depending on the type of house.
Yeah, and the range, it's narrow. So we saw a couple places. Yeah, like I said, they had four offers on the first day on the market.
And you're like, I don't want to jump into this that fast.
Well, right, because it's going to appraise for lower than whatever it bids up to. And then, so I guess there used to be shady appraisal practices.
Yeah, tell me about it.
And that doesn't happen anymore.
That's good.
So they'll, you know, then you have to either have them come down in price to, you know, meet the appraised value. But if you they got up $30,000, they're going to say, fuck you. There are eight other bidders.
Yeah.
So then you have to cover the rest because a mortgage company is not going to give you a loan on a $210,000 home if they appraise at, you know, 180.
Jeez, that seems very complicated all of a sudden.
I know.
It used to be, the house would appraise at whatever it needed to appraise at.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
Yeah, one of my coworkers was like, my place that I bought in Apple Valley, I bought it for $169,010 or something, and it appraised for $169,010.
Yeah. Back in the
imagine that.
Uh-huh. The heart of the bad real estate business boom, we used to work with a guy that did a little bit of home buying or I don't even know what he did. He was a mortgage guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually looked at me and said, oh, don't worry about the appraisal. We'll get it to match whatever you need.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they said to me.
Yeah.
And even then, it sort of struck me as,
maybe that's not sustainable.
Not a lot of good is going to come out of this at some point.
Yeah.
And there we are.
So, I mean, to answer your question, if you have good credit, I don't think you need
20%
significantly
down.
More than... No, you definitely don't need that. I have a problem paying money for nothing. I don't like
what about your free chicks?
So right. That was good.
Thank you.
Good. Yeah.
Nice good little 80s music humor right there, Jerry.
Like I don't like paying interest already.
Way to invoke that racist song.
but I also
that's
homophobic
whatever.
Song.
Homophobic song. That's
my favorite song.
But the idea of paying PMI is
a joke.
Criminal to me. So
it is criminal.
So that's where we are. But if you have good credit, I think there's like a lot of federal programs and stuff still that you probably only need 5% or something like that.
Gotcha.
if you want to. And the metro area has a ton of programs to try to get people to buy foreclosed homes and stuff like that, that they're giving, you know, like better rates on and things like that. But yeah, rates are super low right now. So it's a really good time to do something. So we got a real estate agent. One of our friends had used her, and she was really good. And she's probably early 30s.
Hungry for a sale.
Probably likes the same bands as you, right?
Exactly.
Can talk your talk.
Better than Ezra. Big Better Than Ezra fan.
Yeah. Rancid. She's huge into like...
That's actually the first thing she said to him.
Yeah.
You like Rancid. Rancid, right? Yes. Yes.
In our interview process.
I am your lady.
Right. So, like, I don't know, like, Mandy and I had been doing just, you know, like, kind of search online.
Yeah.
We were doing most of it ourselves. I was kind of like, why are we even, like, what's the point of a real estate agent? We can just do all this ourselves. And for a buyer, at least in Minnesota, maybe it's different elsewhere, like, none of that money goes, you know, you don't pay your real estate agent. It's coming out of the sale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, well, that's fine. Maybe this will be helpful. And they have access to way better tools. Like,
sure.
So
they know when things go on the market faster than the regular population.
Yeah. So like it was interesting to learn. Like, so when I worked at MarketWatch, like, you know, we had real time access to the markets where everything else is delayed. She has the same thing, you know, like where DynaRealty.com is going to get usually a one day delay and, you know, their MLS tools are instant. So it was kind of cool to learn about that sort of stuff. So anyway, we bought a house in New Brighton, which is...
What area?
The Arden Hills area. So I'm just going to lie and tell people it's Arden Hills. It's like 35W and a little east of that, and like County Road D, County Road E2, that area.
I know exactly where that is.
By Lake Johanna.
I do! I know exactly where that is.
I'm not. I just.
I grew up in that area.
He grew up there. You're living in Jared's old neighborhood.
I went to Arden Hill School District.
Jared can give
it's
you
Moundsview School District now.
Moundsview, whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Jared can give you the treasure map. But then I moved to all the buried bodies.
Then I moved to St. Anthony and I went to St. Anthony School District. But yeah, which part of New Brighton is in. But I was curious if you were in that. Anyway, you're not. You're in the Moundsview School District.
Mm-hmm. So closed June 17th.
And then how long do you have to move in?
10 days.
So, okay. So,
12 days.
Gotcha.
You mean because our rental? Yes. Yeah, we are renting through the end of June.
Gotcha. When we moved, we actually had an entire month to move in. So our move in was very painless overall.
Yeah. I feel like a week and a half or almost two is, it'll be fine for us. We don't have that much stuff.
Get in, get out, and then the party starts. Mm-hmm. We'll do a live Scope broadcast.
You guys will be invited. That's fine.
It'll be fun.
We'll be invited. Keep us away from all the cool kids.
Mandy, we were talking about a fictitious wedding, and we were like, I was like, I'm probably only would invite like three people, and then she was like, well, who would you invite these people? And I was like, yeah, I guess so. And like the list kept growing. She was like, what about Shane and Jared? And I was like, God. All right,
we're like the last people they think about, Jared.
You are not.
We've been together for 6 years.
You are not the last people. There were way more that I had to concede yes to after you guys.
When their wedding comes up, Jared, we're going to get a list of people, and we're going to have Adam rank it in terms of who's going to make it and who's not.
I can do that right now.
We'll live stream the whole thing.
You guys are 17 and 18.
Wow.
17.
It's not terrible.
18.
No.
It could be worse, Shane.
You're in top 20.
Are you talking about being in the wedding or just at the wedding? Like one of your 20
what if I didn't know how weddings worked, so I just assumed that
everyone was like, you got to get a tux. I've got 18 groomsmen.
Yep. Everyone just stand up and
you all hold a piece of the ring and we will form it together.
We'll forge it.
Have a fellowship.
We'll get some sort of smelting tool.
I like that. We're like a mid-round draft pick. We may have a chance to start this season.
Yeah. I like it.
I think if we get our dig in, get our heads in the playbook. A
couple of key injuries and we'll get in there.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
I like it. Well, congratulations.
You got to fire your agent first, though.
Congratulations. One quick question. Houses cheaper in Arden Hills, I assume, than where you're looking in South Minneapolis.
It really depended.
Just the same
They were way bigger. They were newer. Like,
how many bedrooms in this new
four
house?
Bedrooms.
How many bathrooms?
Two.
Basement.
It's a split level.
Okay.
So they're
man cave.
Mandy said I could have a room for my Lego,
and she has a room for all of her silk flowers.
Yeah, it's called the house.
That's exactly my life right there.
It's
the house. Is it move-in ready? Is there things you got to do to it?
It's fine. Yeah, we don't have to do anything. The roof needs to be replaced. We knew that. It's old.
Yeah.
You couldn't negotiate that as part of the purchase plan?
They wouldn't stand for it.
There's a whole thing.
There's a story there.
There's a whole thing. All right.
There's a deck, a really tiny deck that needs to be replaced at some point. It's like right off of one of the bedrooms.
Decks are expensive.
I know. We could
barbecue grill?
We could just leave it and never use it, and we'd be fine.
Sprinkler system?
There is no. I don't think so.
How many square feet in the yard?
I have no idea what that means.
Fenced?
The back is fenced.
Wood fence?
What's the condition of the lawn?
The lawn's good.
Lawn's good.
I have to buy a fucking lawnmower.
You got to buy that.
That's what happens.
I have a list of all the stupid shit. Yeah. Like every time I add something to it, I'm like, why are we doing this?
You got to get a spade.
I don't know what a spade
definitely
is.
Definitely a spade.
What does that word
It's like
mean?
A hand hoe.
I don't know what that is.
God,
it's
like a large trowel.
What the fuck? I know what a small trowel is. Yeah. I don't know what a
large one is. A whole different ballgame.
So I'm mad. Like I'm like,
you got to learn. Do you know where the closest Home Depot is?
Yeah.
Or Lowe's?
Yeah. And then
or Menards.
And then you think you're going to go there 5 times, but then you're going to go there 15 times.
Yeah.
Snowblower?
It's on the list. Yep. I know it's on the list. Sorry.
See, time to buy in the off season.
Yeah. We were lucky when we moved in. The people that left, they pretty much said, we've got a snowblower, we've got a lawnmower, we've got ladders.
Why'd they leave them?
Because they were moving to Colorado to a small place that they did not need them.
Oh,
so it was all included. I still use the lawnmower. I still use all the ladders. There's a lot of tools.
No,
I had to buy a lawnmower, but I did inherit a very large ladder and a snowblower.
I hadn't even thought about
when
ladder.
When I move, guaranteed, those jerk-offs that take my place will not be getting my ladder, will not be getting my snowblower.
Seriously.
Nothing.
How do you even get a ladder home?
That's a really good question.
right? I'm not going to put it on the top of my car.
And this is one of those giant ladders, so it's like two ladders stacked on top of each other, and it just slides
You may have to rent that rental truck at home.
You get two people to drive it, and you just put it on top of both cars at the same time.
They just go down. They take two lanes. You take two lanes. Well, I'm excited to hear about the progress of the move-in.
They have
the
a pool table there right now.
Uh-oh.
And they were like, hey, you guys want this? And I said, fuck no.
Get it out
of
there.
That out
those
of
are
here.
Heavy, too.
I know.
Really? You didn't want the pool table?
Because I would never play it, and then we would try to find someone, some yutz, to take it away from us.
Yep, so get it out of there now.
There's free pool tables on Craigslist all the time for a reason.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
No, Jared, you've got your
I have no. We may be podcasting from a pool table.
Well, there's an idea.
Rack them and stack them, baby.
No, I have no room for a pool table, but if I had one, I would use it a lot, probably.
You probably would.
Yeah. I like to shoot a little pool.
I do like
billiards.
I like ping pong myself.
Probably going to go back and edit a lot of this episode. Just so you know.
Hey, this is all about the day-to-day lives of Jared Adam Shane.
That's why people tune in.
I think we may have given a little bit too much information about
what's
the
your
location.
Bank account and how can people access it for your down payment? That's what I want.
KL5.
is your password War Machine Rocks, all caps,
with an X.
So, guys, we have got a big show planned. It is our annual summer movie preview. There's a lot to cover. This is a big year for summer movies. Jared has a lot to say about it. Adam also has a lot to say about it.
I probably should have prepared something, huh?
And I'm going to moderate and then tell them the correct answers after they get done talking. We've got Under the Scope. We'll see what form it takes this week.
Shut up.
Form of a bucket of water, right?
Form of a soggy mop. That's what they do. An ice mop.
Useful in battle.
Yep. It's with the Wonder Twins, it was always like form of an eagle, shape of a bucket of lukewarm water.
Yes.
I mean, they never...
The eagle would fly and carry the bucket. That was it.
And then they would pour it on the Riddler.
I don't know.
They would pour Gleek on the Riddler.
Poorly conceived heroes, yeah. I'm going to say that.
They could do better. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more of Year 7, Episode 139 of your Scope program. Hit it.
This is the Funk.
Impressive, but you are not a Jedi yet.
It puts the lotion on its skin, or else it gets the hose again.
So Reddit, do you want to take back his credit? Yeah. Then spread the word, link it out. All the fanboys got to shout. Joko got jacked.
I got one, I got two, I got three kittens, boss and little fuzzy kittens. I got
banana. It's a tasty yellow fruit that goes right in your mouth.
No wonder Britney Spears is gonna freeze her head when everybody that you've ever known is dead. You could go quietly, but heed these words I've read. Britney Spears is gonna freeze her head. A brand new
That's the Funny Music Project at thefump.com. THEFUMP.com.
Summer's here, and the time is right for the highly anticipated but never duplicated Scope Summer Preview. We'll fill you in on all the must-sees and must-avoids of this very important season. The Scope Summer Preview.
Hey, everybody. The joy of pre-produced... bumpers, stingers.
I love that.
It makes me feel good, doesn't
it? What I think is funny, though, is we always play that, and it's never says it's just the summer movie preview, and it makes it sound like we're going to talk about more summer stuff. We never do.
Originally we thought we were going to do that. We need to take Tony out.
Here's
back
your
and
summer,
slap him up
summer
a little
TV
bit.
Preview Under the Dome on CBS. That's all you
there
need
you
to
go.
Know about.
So you think you can dance, Jared?
It's the only thing I care about.
So, yes, this it's funny. Tony said never duplicated summer preview, but it has been duplicated six times prior to this. This is our seventh summer movie preview. I'm very excited about it. Seven is the magic number, guys. You've seen Something About Mary.
Yeah.
Seven little birds sitting in a tree, whatever he says.
Best character on Blossom.
There you go. 6 minute abs. So I have compiled a list of summer movies, summer movie questions, and I'm going to throw them out there at you guys.
Bring it.
And then at the very end of this, in our next segment, we are going to review, I would say, the first official summer movie. That would be Iron Man 3. So we've got a lot to cover. Let's jump in.
Do it.
So in general, I've been reading in my research that a lot of people, a lot of internet outlets are saying this could be one of the best summer movie seasons ever. And they compare it to...
Didn't they say that a couple years ago?
They compare that to the heyday of the early 80s, like 83, 84, 82, 83, 84, where there was a lot of stuff going on. Do you guys think that this is shaping up to be one of the most important, or at least one of the most successful summer movie seasons ever? Jared, looking at you.
I think
you're older than
that. There's an awful lot of films out there that I am looking forward to this summer. That's really the only metric I can go on.
Yeah. I think if we went back to last year's preview, I kind of feel like we're all like a little shoulder shruggy yeah. about
it. I mean, I think we were excited about Batman.
Yeah.
We were excited about Avengers. But then after that, there was a big gap of stuff to take your time during the summer months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This year, Jared is right. There is something almost every weekend. And for the most part, don't you think that the buzz, and I mean, we'll cover this later, but the buzz on most films has been pretty good.
Yeah,
like, hey,
I would say so.
this could be a good movie. You know, there are few movies that I've seen, or at least movie trailers rather, that you look at and you go, boy, this is going to be a dog. Although I think we might have seen one during Iron Man 3.
None. They're all perfect.
What do you think, Adam?
About
right?
The summer?
Are we onto something? Is this the summer, or are you just too busy buying houses?
it's possible. I think that this will be a good summer. I was kind of going through that list, you know, like we'll talk about in a few minutes.
Yeah.
I was looking at a couple of those calendars, and I don't think I'm as excited as you are, but maybe that's just your job.
I don't know. Yeah,
you're like the industry's hype man.
totally my life.
Hype man Shane.
Totally my life.
But, you know, even just the tent poles, it feels like there's more of them. And I don't know if you're talking disparagingly about... Fast Furious 6, if that's the movie you were saying, is not going to live up to its hype, because that movie looks amazing.
I think Fast Furious 6 is not something I'm looking forward to, but I think for the type of person who likes that movie...
It's like this guy over
it
here?
It probably looks fantastic.
Have either of you seen a Fast Furious movie?
I have seen. I've seen the first one.
Okay.
I hated it.
I would say watch the one that they named just Fast and Furious.
The last one.
Yeah.
Didn't they just like race cars at one point?
What about the one where they were in Ching Chong, Chinatown? What about that one?
Tokyo Drift.
Tokyo Drift, which was a prequel. I will let you know, it was a prequel to the first movie.
Is that guy?
The third movie is a
prequel. One of those Asian fellas in this one?
Well, he dies in that one.
Okay.
Wow.
But there seemed to be like an Asian fellow. Is he a carryover? Like maybe a brother or something?
Oh, no,
like
I'm sorry. That one is in the future. Then everything else is in the past.
This sounds a very complicated.
I know,
movie
there's
universe.
A lot of lore.
We probably
to it.
Wasted too much time talking about the Fast and Furious franchise.
The movie I was That's talking about was White House Down. By the way,
I think that movie looks
terrible.
Really,
you're right.
It looks
Next.
Like Die Hard. It looks like.
We'll get into it. It's on my list.
Looks like Olympus Has Fallen.
It's on my list
because it is Olympus Has Fallen.
Anyway,
okay. So we're excited about it, but so let's go to a subset of the movies this year, and that is the comic book movie. And I think for 6 years we've talked about how. This might finally be the summer of the comic book movie.
I mean,
it might be.
Years,
we might be.
What
there.
Do you mean, might be? Like,
this is the year where we're really where everything's going to be comic book.
I feel like since X-Men X2, it's been the summer of comic.
Yeah,
book
it's
movies.
Kind of. But my question is, can we just sort of ignore that and accept that comic books are now a part? Comic book movies are a part of the movie fabric, and you don't necessarily need to call them out because they are because they're here.
At this point, yeah. I mean, we could have said that before Avengers did as much business as it did, but I think that pretty much locked it in as, these are going to be some of your biggest movies ever. Deal with it.
These are stories told.
There's no need to sit there and go, is this now or comic book movies are the thing? It was like, okay.
You know, the best part.
Sure, they've been the thing for 10 years now.
The best part about comic book movies, the Marvel ones that are not owned by Disney.
Yeah.
Like the Wolverine.
Yeah.
Is... I think that means Stan Lee doesn't have a stupid cameo in them. So I would say that until we can get rid of the Stan Lee ridiculous cameo.
You will get rid of it when he dies.
I know,
and
but that's so long from now. That guy's never going to die.
His screen time seems to get reduced, though, at every time.
Now, well, number one, his cameo in The Amazing Spider-Man was funnier than heck. I stand by that. And
was
I
on
think
the toilet or something. What?
I don't know. He was in the library.
Yeah, listening to music.
And I think that it's a nice nod to the history of the Marvel Universe. So get over it. It's 2 seconds.
I won't get over it.
Get over it.
It takes me out of the experience.
All right.
Okay. Well, you know, you're missing out. You're
not
missing
out.
You are. So let's go to a speed round. We did this last time. Let's do it again. I've got a list of a few movies here. I'm going to rattle them off. You guys tell me your quick thoughts on them. We will start with a movie that's coming out next weekend, The Great Gatsby. Adam?
Mandy's pick as movie of the summer.
Interesting. Jared?
It's not a real pick, by the way. Should point that out.
I believe that she said that.
I'm really curious what Baz Luhrmann does with a literary classic. And it, as always, he has, you know, his soundtrack is always very interesting choices because it's not doesn't fit the time period.
He makes very interesting choices when he does his films, mm-hmm. and I'm always excited to see what he does.
Is that the lady from Drive that's in it?
I've never
the blonde
seen,
lady?
Never saw it, but probably.
She's real pretty in Drive.
She's right there. There's the picture. What's her name?
Carrie Mulligan. Yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
I like that movie.
Here's the thing about Great Gatsby, not a happy tale. So unless things are shifted, bring your tissues.
So you guys, have you both read the book?
I read it in high school.
Nope. Were you assigned to read it, Jared?
Didn't read it.
Okay. So, no. Well, no, I was assigned to read it.
And you didn't read it. Great Gatsby was the book that they taught us about how to understand and see symbolism as a concept. And Great Gatsby is full of it.
Yeah, Great Gatsby is full of it.
It is. My second movie, M. Night Shyamalan's Will Smith production of After Earth, comes out on June 7th, my birthday. Jared?
I want to be excited for it because I love post-apocalypse films, but I'm just not getting anything off this one that makes me thrilled.
I agree. I love M. Night. I think that people give him a lot of shit for no reason. He may be a one-trick pony, but his trick is usually good. That being said, I hate Will Smith. And I haven't liked a lot of what M. Night's done recently. So I think that it's like a weird vanity project for Will Smith and the Sun, and it drives me crazy. And I don't support him ever. Thank you. Good night.
Why do you hate Will Smith?
I think that he's an egomaniac.
Every other actor?
But I think that he puts it out there and he pretends like he isn't. I think that he's a secret Scientologist. And I hate how he acts like he's the world's greatest dad, both he and his wife. And he goes on Oprah and prances around like a big shot. And he's not.
Okay.
Is that good enough for you?
I don't care.
And I think he's a bit of an overrated actor. Whoa. Yeah, I said it. Okay. I gave him a look.
Silence.
Adam, what do you think, After Earth?
I have zero hopes for it. I like the screenwriter of it.
Who's the screenwriter?
Gary Whitta. He
known for?
Book of Eli.
Book of Eli.
Which I didn't particularly like, but Gary, he goes on podcasts and stuff.
You love him as a screenwriter, but you can't stand his movies that he writes.
I didn't say I like him as a screenwriter. I said I like the screenwriter.
Does he have a deep voice?
No, he's British.
Ah, okay. Then that's fun. It's fun to listen to.
Yeah. I agree with you on the disliking of Will Smith.
Thank you.
I just was curious, and then you...
Why do you hate him?
I don't hate him. I just don't find him as enthralling as most people do.
Like, I don't get excited.
Right.
You know, he raps.
It's because of Wild Wild West. And here's why. Because in the song for Wild Wild West, he does this. Which I found offensive.
Like an Indian battle cry.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with you. That's another reason. Put it on my list. I'm going to write that down.
You need a list of things.
You grab a pen for no reason.
I got to write that down. Indian war cry, Will Smith, bad. June 28th brings this next movie. We did allude to it earlier. White House Down. I just saw the trailer for the first time at the beginning of Iron Man. To me, I think this movie is going to drive conservatives crazy. It's like turning Obama into a super diehard type action hero.
Maybe they'll just watch the first half when it looks like he's going to die, and they'll be like, good movie.
Yeah, this one looks like a big, stinking hot mess to me. That's when I saw it, I was like, ooh, boy. It seems to be to tread on every single cliche that action movies have.
This is a Gore Verbinski. No, who is doing this movie? It's a... 2012. It's
I can't think of his name now.
The guy that does all the Day After Tomorrow.
Oh yeah, the
anyway, that guy.
It was
Vidal Sassoon.
Yeah. I was thinking Roland Emmerich, but that's not it.
Isn't it? It is Roland Emmerich.
Is it?
I think so.
Well, yeah. It seems
no fact checking on this podcast.
No, none. Why would we look that up? It just seems like a very typical hodgepodge of stuff where we've got to amp it up by giving the president of a gun. What do you say?
But I would say there were, I think, more explosions in that trailer than any other trailer, maybe any movie I've seen before. There were more than there were in Iron Man.
It just seems, but doesn't it seem like this is like a buddy cop film?
Yeah,
with
I was going to say.
With the president being one of the buddies.
Have you seen 21 Jump Street? So, Channing Tatum is made for that.
I know.
We've
I
already
know.
Seen Olympus Has Fallen and the other White House.
Is the president a buddy in that
no,
one?
No, it's played much more seriously. And yeah, this White House Down seems very, very jokey.
White House Down had a scene where Channing Tatum was being, was it a gun to his head? I don't know, by a bad guy. And the president had a gun and Channing's like, don't shoot him. And the president put on his glasses, and he's like, okay, shoot him.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't imagine that actually happened.
He also was mad that the guy was holding on to his Air Jordans, the president was, and the president kicked him.
I saw that. I wish I hadn't, but I did see it. Not a great summer movie season
I am going to say right now, I won't see that in the theaters, but I am not as cynical as you guys. I think that looks like it could be an exciting romp.
I think my head is going to explode. You're not as cynical as us.
No.
You are the heart of cynicism.
This is what home ownership does to a man.
Yeah, you all of a sudden everything's great.
Someone has to, otherwise this is a huge downer. You guys are just shitting on things left and right.
Well, let's see if we can shit on the next movie, World War Z. Jared and I have had many conversations about this, but I'm going to throw it to Adam first. This is the Max Brooks inspired movie.
Yeah, he has nothing to do with this.
Starring Brad Pitt. This movie's been in production for years. There's been troubles. There's been arrests over weapons. There's been rewrites of the ending.
Fuck this movie.
You've got Lost. Lost, what's his face, came in to rewrite the end of. Who's a big writer on Lost?
And Prometheus.
The other
God
guy.
Damn it. Why am I forgetting?
The bald guy.
Yeah. I don't know.
Darren or not. What?
Darren Aronofsky. We'll go with that.
Something like that. Darren Aronofsky.
He would have made this movie amazing.
You
wouldn't get it.
I think everyone in the room has read World War Z.
Yes.
Yes.
What do you think, Adam?
This will not be a good movie. That's what I think about this movie. I am upset that they are changing every bit of tone from the book. I think that's what makes that book special, is the way that it retells this like a history book. You know? Like, just turning it into a huge zombie apocalypse movie takes everything away from it. It's just like, oh, this is silly and pointless.
I've never been someone that is a slave to the books. I've always felt like if you can do a better movie of the book and you need to change it, I reluctantly agree.
You won't go to foreign movies because the subtitles you won't read.
I won't even do it.
Yep.
But I think, Jared, I'm going to throw this over to you. One of the quotes I read about World War Z was, I don't know if they were talking to the director or Brad Pitt, but that zombies have been done two ways. They've been done slow. They've been done fast. They've been done to death. So they really needed a different take on how zombies work. So they're going to do that sort of insect hive mind where they just, you know, you think about nature where the ants just go through or the locusts go through and clean off the land. And that was their inspiration for that. Do you think that's a good direction to go for a book, a story that, you know, is so deeply set in the Romero type of zombie, which is the slow moving, a lot of them, and you know, you can run, but eventually the masses are going to get you.
This is my opinion on the film. I think if it were not supposed to be World War Z, I think it would be an interesting take on the genre, and it could potentially be really, really fun. I am severely annoyed that it's still called World War Z, because that's simply, it has nothing to do with the book, and it's that title's there only for marketing purposes.
Here, here. Absolutely.
At this point, it's been so so far removed from how the book is structured and the world it inhabits that, you know. But I still kind of want to see it just because I think as a zombie film with a new take, it could be interesting.
A practically bloodless zombie film too, from what I understand.
What's it rated? PG-13?
PG-13. Okay. Huh. Yeah, I mean, it takes essentially the one concept from World War Z, which is zombies take over the world, and then they have the other concept, which is the idea of this, the guy that's telling the story in the book is like a UN whatever. I don't even know what he is. But Brad Pitt's sort of playing a character like that. But that's it.
Yep.
And now we're going to solve it. We're going to solve the zombie problems because we've only got 48 hours to do it, whatever. Yeah, I'm with you, Jared. I hope this is a great candidate for us being able to see this movie for free.
That'd be great.
And then we can review it and maybe not feel obligated one way or the other to to like it because we paid some money for it.
Right.
The next movie I have is coming up in 2 weeks. It's Star Trek Into Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
This is the sequel to the reboot of Star Trek.
I'll be seeing this movie for free with my coworkers.
Our
CEO loves Star Trek.
He made your office look like Star Trek.
Yes, and he's renting out the a theater. And
probably in Blaine, so I can't come.
You're giving free, it's family only.
We are like family. I've spent more time with you. I've
17 and 18 on my list.
But I've spent more time with you than you have with your mom.
Take that.
In the past 7 years.
That's very true.
That's something.
I'm not inviting my mom.
So I'll start first on this one. I love the first Star Trek reboot. You can bitch about JJ's use of lens flare. You can bitch about his desire to tie it into the original universe in some way. But I thought it was a fun romp. It was a fresh take, and I'm excited about this movie. But I will say, and I don't like to have other reviews taint my opinion, but the early reviews on this movie is not good.
That it's
mechanical and it's simply structured, not simply structured, but it is structured as, you know, beat, 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 beat. There's no heart in it. And
JJ was off planning the next Star Wars movie.
Both early reviews I've read have not been positive. That it's perfunctory. Is that the word, Jared?
Sure.
They must have been international reviews.
Hollywood Reporter and then our first review at Ain't It Cool.
I would like to know,
but I still can't wait to see it.
Yeah,
I'm very excited to see it. I accept some of the criticisms that hardcore Star Trek fans have of the rebooted series. How it doesn't really feel like Star Trek. It just feels like, you know, your standard action movie fare
with Star Trek uniforms.
Right. I guess this will be interesting because this will sort of be a glimpse at if it really isn't super good, like some of your early reviews are saying, then that might have to give us a little bit of pause when it comes to considering what the next Star Wars movie will be like, as I choke on the words.
Yeah, I think that this movie is not critically loved, or at least fandomly loved, that will be a big issue.
Is J.J. Abrams going to write the Star Wars movie?
He is working to write it, but it comes from a plot from George Lucas. So my guess is that he's probably working...
Well, they have a writer, too.
Yeah, and they have a writer, but I think J.J. is working on it with him.
I mean, Star Wars is his love, so I would hope he would put more heart into it than he would into Star Trek.
Yeah, he cares about this one. So, yeah. So what do you
think, Adam? As long as it has racist Muppets. I think
we love racist Muppets.
I think that this movie will be good. I hope that this one has the Force in it. I don't know why that wasn't in the one from a few years ago.
I agree 100%. Some sort of mystical force that actually...
No, the Force.
Midichlorians.
Yeah,
crosses universes. It sets up our.
What do you mean, crosses universes?
Oh, it is. It's just everywhere. I really gotta think.
I hope that Han Solo is in this one.
Shane, it surrounds us. It penetrates us. It binds the universe together.
I am a silly.
Doesn't matter which galaxy you're in,
right?
Time period you're in.
I'm hopeful of this. I loved that first movie, and I've rewatched it like three or four times. Maybe they are riff tracks each of the rewatches, but I'm excited. I'm going to be seeing it with a good audience.
People that are primed, pumps are primed, as they say.
Yep. I think our CEO is probably going to be watching all of us to make sure that we're enjoying it.
You better
enjoy. Fired.
So make sure you have the appropriate amount of jubilation.
Yeah.
Otherwise, gone.
I'll be wearing. A red shirt? What's the ones that die?
Red shirt.
I'll wear a red shirt.
Don't do that. That means you're telling your boss you're expendable.
Right. What's the color shirt I'm supposed to wear? Gray? Blue?
Blue or yellow would be the colors that you're looking for.
Okay. I don't know what any of those things mean.
Captain wears yellow. A lot of the other people, science officers.
Peace be unto you, brother.
Although Scotty did wear red.
He did.
Jared, the next movie I know exactly.
He didn't really get off the ship very often.
No, not at all.
I know you guys are going to say about this one, but I had to throw it out there.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler is back this summer with a sequel, his first sequel he's ever done.
Seriously? Wow.
Grown Ups 2. All his buddies are together.
Click 2 was never a movie.
So wait.
Never 2.
So Happy Gilmore isn't a sequel to Billy Madison?
It is not.
Interesting.
Little Nicky was a prequel to all of those, though. We all know that.
So this is my take on it. Don't care. Won't see it. Grown Ups 1 actually did pretty good business, so who knew?
That's surprising.
Yeah.
Who's seeing these movies? The same people that are seeing Paul Blart Mall Cop?
Yeah, yes. I mean, there's Adam Sandler has fans.
It used to be us. Like, who's his current fan?
I was never a huge Adam Sandler fan.
Oh, I was. The more
I liked him on SNL,
better.
But his movies I always thought were a little one-note.
I think you're one-note.
Yeah, I am. You're right.
Microsoft one-note.
That's it. Jared, your take?
I have no interest in seeing it. Never saw the first one. Don't plan on seeing the second one.
That is a movie you see on a plane. Like,
yeah.
Because you don't have a choice. It just comes on. You're like,
gotta watch this.
I forgot to put some episodes of Breaking Bad on my iPad. Right. Guess I'll watch this.
And then Friends afterwards or whatever fills the rest of the flight.
So our next movie is interesting. It is a big sci-fi blockbuster, not based on any pre-existing property.
Lone Ranger.
The Hangover Part 3.
But inspired by the big-time Godzilla Monster Stomp movies. Of course, I'm talking about the long-awaited Pacific Rim, directed by who, Jared?
Guillermo del Toro.
And let's talk about this one, Adam.
I have not watched the new trailer. I understand people are enjoying the new one. I saw the original trailer and was not into anything I was seeing. I feel in a lot of ways, and I think we talked about this on Twitter when it originally happened.
There was some
happened.
Back and forth.
Yeah. I don't like Guillermo del Toro like other people do.
He looks a bit like Hagrid?
No.
Oh.
Not his personal look.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Like, I didn't like Pan's Labyrinth as much as everyone else did. I never saw it, Jared. I saw it
I didn't either. How do you feel about the Hellboy films?
They were okay, but I mean, I mostly just like, what's his face?
Ron Perlman.
Okay. Like, he could just be in shit. And I'll
Ron Perlman is in Pacific Rim.
So there's a chance.
There is a chance.
I'm coming around on it already.
All right. We've got him.
It just looked schlocky, the first trailer. And I guess at the time, I didn't know it was meant to be, you know, to recall Godzilla-type movies and stuff like
Godzilla.
That. But it looked like a shitty Ultraman movie. I hated Ultraman. So that was my issue.
Counterpoint, Jared. Go.
This could be the film I'm most excited to see this summer.
What?
After Iron Man 3, and remember, just imagine I haven't seen Iron Man 3 yet.
disappointing
summer. I'm so excited to see it. It just looks giant robots fighting giant monsters. What's not to like? Looks pretty cool.
So let me be the middle ground on this.
Yeah.
I think the movie has a lot of possibility.
I have it on one of my lists.
As I've said to Jared before, I'm a little dubious on the whole human aspect of it.
Yeah.
You know, like how do you tie that in? Does it look sort of weird or hokey? I don't know. And I'm going to be honest with you. Some of the robot designs to me look like they're a little too, you know, like kids Japanese anime for my taste. Rather than what they actually would look like if you were building something to take on robots. That being said, I am...
You might be putting a little too much structure of realism on it. But
that's all right. Hey, it's my life, says Bon Jovi.
My life.
Very nice. But that being said, I am still excited about this. I think this movie has the biggest upside in terms of creating a new franchise. And if it's done well, I think that it could go on to do even bigger things in sequels.
This is the Geno Smith of...
you said it.
the summer movie
That
season.
Being said, I think it could also be a flop.
Yeah. The Geno Smith of...
Yeah. Let's move on to our next film. It's the last one in our speed round. We called that our speed round.
Uh-huh.
It's a little film called Monsters University. It's another sequel from Pixar. Pixar did the sequel to Cars. They've done a number of sequels to Toy Story.
Wait a minute. They have two. Is Planes there? Pixar also?
Planes is an interesting thing because it's being advertised as coming from Disney Animation.
Okay.
It's not being advertised as a Pixar film. Gotcha. So I don't really know where that stands. But let's talk about Monsters University. It's a prequel to the very successful and popular Monsters, Inc.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Crystal, John Goodman are back. I'm assuming, what's his face? Bug-eyed, actor from all the Quentin Tarantino films, the bad guy,
Steve
Buscemi will be in it. Maybe, I don't know. So this is this a return to form for Pixar? They've struggled, I think, at least critically to really capture the imagination of their fans, both with Brave has been... Which I love Brave, but a lot of people didn't.
I thought it was a weak movie.
And
never saw it.
A lot of people hated Cars too, so let's talk about it. Any excitement to see this, Jared?
I'm kind of done with CG.
You should start with
CG films.
With it. You're the one that's going to be most likely to see it.
Well, I will definitely be seeing this in the theater.
Are you excited to, though?
I think that it will be good. The thing with Pixar movies, a lot of times, you know, I'm not like dying to see them, but once I see them, I remember why I like Pixar movies so much, because they really seem to capture, you know, a number of different emotions that tug on the heartstrings. So
I've been sort of done with Pixar films since Toy Story 3, because I felt like it was so melodramatic and so...
Oh, you didn't like it?
I liked parts of it, but I just thought it just went way too over the top with the sentimentality, and it just bothered me, and I was just sort of like, meh. And overall, other CG, you know, films from other companies, I just don't bother with. I just don't have any interest. Other than Wreck-It Ralph, which had the video game angle. And,
right.
Jared's grown up, I think. I think Jared's grown up. Sorry. Adam, what do you say?
I still like Monsters, Inc. I didn't go and see the 3D release, which I guess I'm now realizing was just to make people remember
it
in prep for this movie coming out. But I liked it a lot. What was her name? Boo?
Mm-hmm.
That was a really good character. So what is she like, 17 now in this one? Just,
well, it's a prequel. So what? She's probably, not even a zygote.
Even worse. So I don't know. I mean, I won't see it in the theater. I'm not gonna go see a baby movie in the theater or anything, but,
well, if you want to come with my family, you can do that.
Is it just kids crying the whole time?
No.
They're running up and down the aisles. No.
Yeah, I get anxiety.
Chances of you getting gum in your hair are pretty high.
Ugh.
Yeah, you can't deal with that.
Kids need to turn off their fucking flashing lights shoes, by the way, when we're seeing a movie.
Was that with the flashing over there by Iron Man? I thought it was somebody's phone.
Damn it.
Okay, well, let's move on from our speed round to
LA Knights. Fuck those.
LA Knights.
I know you're talking about. So I've got, this is almost like a prediction.
Okay.
Let's start with prediction for biggest movie of the summer.
Is this internationally or
U.S.? I think this is
U.S.
I think it's the U.S.
Domestic. We don't deal internationally.
Yeah. I think we're all probably going to agree on this one. I think it's a no-brainer that it will be Iron Man 3.
It's been doing bonkers business overseas. Chances are it's going
to... Some might say.
Iron Man is on track to make $170 million this weekend.
It's going to be a pretty big deal.
It's got 2 weeks of clean. I mean,
yeah,
Gatsby's not going to take business away from this. Star Trek will, but I think that it will probably reign supreme for 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah,
maybe even three.
And I don't see. I mean, Star Trek, I guess, could do pretty well.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's going to be Iron Man.
Star
3.
Trek is a little nichier.
Man of Steel, maybe if it turns out to be a really good film, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I just don't know how that's
even
be.
Man of Steel has issues. You know.
Yeah. Iron Man 3 is definitely, I think, the lock to be most box office of the summer. Domestic.
You agree?
Most boffo.
You agree?
Boffo box office.
Yes, I do. What comes out closest to July 4th, though? That's what I meant to look up.
That would be...
Despicable Me, The Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger, yeah.
I guess The Lone Ranger has a chance to be like that weird movie that everyone's into, but... Man, it looks bad.
Well, let's talk about the biggest flop of the summer.
All right.
Now, I'm not saying, you know, you pick Grown Ups 2. I'm saying you dig in.
Grown Ups 2 is going to do fine.
Yeah, I'm just saying I think we have to think about.
It has to be relative to what its production and marketing budget were.
Yeah.
You know, a $4 million film that makes $5 million, that's a hit. Yeah.
So the movie I picked for biggest flop, even though I think there could be two of them, I actually am going with The Lone Ranger as my biggest flop. Although I think that there's tremendous upside for that film as well. I think you've got a pattern that's been established with Pirates of the Caribbean where you have, you know, sort of an odd property.
But how did that, like, weren't the last two of those, like, do well?
But it did. That movie came out and people were expecting it to be terrible. Hmm. And when you saw it, you're like, hey, this is actually a, you know, an hour too long, but it's still a fun, weird movie. And I think
that, the first Pirates?
Yeah. The first Pirates. I think that The Lone Ranger could actually do the same thing. But I also think that it's awfully hard for lightning to strike twice. They never recaptured the glory with any of the other Pirates movies. They still were all a little sideways, weird, not great. They had more of the bad qualities than the good qualities of the first one. And I think that, like I said, recapturing that magic is going to be awfully tough. So I'm putting that in there, although I felt like Hangover 3 could also be a big flop.
That's my pick.
Go ahead. You talk about it.
The second one.
Never saw it, by the way.
I didn't see the second one either. Did not do as well. I don't know if it did as well. I know that it was not the most profitable hit that the first one was.
Yeah.
And this one, like I was reading, it's got like a $100 million budget or something for...
Bloat.
Yeah, for a comedy.
For a comedy.
It's ridiculous.
So it has to be this. The other thing I was thinking about The Lone Ranger is... There's no way that Disney has another John Carter happen, right? Like,
I don't agree with that.
So it's like that. That's what kind of makes me. I don't know. I feel like we heard so much about how John Carter was going to be a bomb months ahead of time that if Disney was going to have that happen again, they would find a way to like put it out there. Like, oh, we know it's going to
sure. But this movie has Johnny Depp doing kind of what he did in Pirates of the Caribbean. I think that that's whereas John Carter had Taylor, what's his face from Friday Night Lights, who love him in Friday Night Lights, but he oftentimes comes across as a wet noodle. So, I mean, he's the anchor of your movie.
Mm-hmm. I think that was not the problem with
that movie. He
anchored
three movies last year, and now he's pretty much done with show business.
Yeah. So there you go. So, Jared, do you deviate from any of those?
No, I also picked the Lone Ranger. I just think it looks interesting. I think it looks bad. I think some of the stunt work looks really
interesting. Wasn't
there
part of that trailer, though, that you saw, like, maybe this could come together?
That trailer made it look good, somehow.
I thought that's the trailer, I was intrigued by it when I saw it.
I think the story looks boring. I think Johnny Depp doing his weird Indian thing is strange, the freaking bird on his head. When I saw the first stills of that, when those were released, I'm just like, ooh, what is going on here, Johnny Depp? What are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, it's a curious thing, but you remember people said the same thing about Pirates.
And when was the last time that a Western had any success in the
Wild West? The problem. Well, it always goes back to Wild West.
I mean, Cowboys and Aliens didn't do well.
No. It's a genre we don't care about as much.
I mean, I like Westerns, but this doesn't seem like a Western. This seems like a straight up, action movie. It's, I don't know. I'm not that interested in it.
If you put these two characters in the White House, you know what movie you got?
We got it.
Yeah,
I know what movie you're going to get.
Which one would
Princey's
be the president?
Honor, of course.
So yeah, my biggest pick for the biggest flop will be the Lone Ranger.
Okay, so let's move on to the next one. I think I sent this to you, which is the biggest question mark. This is the movie
the Wild Card.
The Wild Card film.
Yeah,
we'll start with Jared.
I have two. Can I have two?
Yes,
you I went with both After Earth and World War Z. I really feel like these could go either way. I just don't know how they're going to perform. I'm not getting any sort of buzz on After Earth, so it could tank, but maybe it finds an audience. I mean, that's Memorial Day weekend it's coming out, right? So, there's a chance it does really well. World War Z, I mean, zombies are super hot right now, and there's probably a large chunk of the audience out there who doesn't even know what the book is, don't care what the book is. They're going to see Brad Pitt in a zombie movie. But it could go do really well, or it could be reviewed horribly and be a really bad film, and could go the other way.
Do Brad Pitt movies ever do bad? I hadn't thought about that.
He had one last December that did terribly.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not the... I mean, he's never been like an action movie draw. So.
I know, but like I was trying to think of, even... What was he when he was like Mr. Black or whatever? Whatever movie that was. I can't think of it now. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they always seem to do pretty well.
Meet Joe Black?
Meet Joe Black, yes. That people only went to go see because it had a Phantom Menace trailer attached to it.
I did it really.
We did. That's exactly what we saw.
Wow.
So, Adam, what do you say? What's the Wild
Card? I also have two picks. My real pick is After Earth. I think that has the potential to be amazing, but it also has
a big bust potential.
Yeah, going against
it. I agree
it.
With you guys.
The other thing is, so the other side is, there's always a comedy in the summer that does way better than people were expecting.
Sure.
Bridesmaids, the first Hangover movie. Now you guys saw This Is the End. I don't know
we
if we're gonna
see it.
Talk
yep.
about that. So like I kind of have a few in mind, like This Is the End. Maybe I don't want this to be successful because I don't like Sandra Bullock, but The Heat, which is
June 28th, Sandra Bullock, Melissa
Sandra
McCarthy,
Bullock
Sandy Bullock, as her friends call her.
Right. So
Jared calls her that.
Something like that.
That's not a bad pick
in mind. I don't know. Are you guys gonna talk about This Is the End at some point? You guys
didn't
we did a review.
We did a review. It's on my phone right now.
Never mind.
But yeah,
we haven't posted it yet.
We have not posted it because
it doesn't come out till June.
So we weren't sure if we wanted to put it up right away. So I think the order will be Iron Man, and then maybe we'll put This Is the End up after that. And This Is the End is a, it's a fun movie. But I also just in general, I don't want to get into it too much. I think it's got a pretty narrow scope of fans because you really have to know. I mean, to really like it, you have to know the people that are in it, or at least know of them.
Sure enough.
And because they're playing themselves.
Everyone knows James Franco.
Yeah, but
not everyone likes James Franco.
Yeah, but I mean, there's other people that are surrounding them that it's not just James Franco. Sure. I mean, you've got Seth Rogen and, Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's... I think that people... young kids are going to like it, but I don't know if it's going to have...
Superbad was like a really popular movie.
It was. So it was.
I mean, those are...
Hey, don't knock me. I'm just saying it's something that could be out there. It's a little more. It's not as general or broad as some of those other ones. I'm assuming.
Don't call The Heat a broad comedy because it has a lady in it. That's rude.
So my biggest question mark of the summer. I'm going back to something I talked about. I think Pacific Rim. I think Pacific Rim is one that could do very well or could flop, and I think we'll just have to see how it plays out. I'm very curious to see what it does.
Hey, we will have to see how it plays out because we don't know.
Okay. So now we've got movies you're going to miss and movies you want to see. I'm going to let Jared decide which one we're going to do first. What's more dramatic? How do you do this?
What's more dramatic?
Yeah, which is what do people want to know from
the
scope?
I think we end with the movies we can't miss, and we okay. do next the ones we certainly will miss.
Okay, so Jared, what movies are you definitely not going to go to the theater unless maybe you get a free pass?
I have three on my list. I have The Hangover Part 3.
Ding, me too.
The first one was, you and I agree, first one was overrated.
Way overrated.
Never saw the second one.
Knocked Up.
No interest in the third.
Hangover 3 and Knocked Up came out the same time, right?
Did they?
I thought they were, because I thought a lot of people compared them.
Huh.
And I think Knocked Up is so much better than Hangover in multiple different ways.
In at least four ways.
Four ways.
Name them. You don't see a crowning baby's head.
Katherine Heigl's boobs.
Yep.
Do you one
see
and two.
You see the boobs?
I don't know. I just
you see a baby coming through her vagina.
Yeah, I mean, you could actually with that movie, you could see the end of Katherine Heigl's career. That was one thing. It was like a star, supernova shining bright.
Gerard Butler saw the end of Katherine Heigl's career.
Wow. Look at that.
Yikes.
Also on my list, I have The Heat. We just talked about it.
I have that on my list too, Jared.
I just have no interest in a Sandra Bullock, Melissa McCarthy buddy cop film. Maybe it's a great film, perfectly funny, just is not for me.
Not going to see it. Here's the third one.
And also mentioned Fast and Furious 6.
That was almost on my list.
Oh my God. I've not seen any of them, and there's no reason to start now.
I put White House down on my list, Jared.
I would have, if I had revised my list after seeing the trailer, I would add that to the list.
I mean, there's something about the movie that's like high train wreck, you know, a factor that if I could see that movie free, I think I would enjoy the hell out of at least the experience of seeing it, not necessarily the movie, but.
But wow, has Channing Tatum just completely become a star? It's amazing.
Yeah. Channing Tatum in.
He deserves
the
it.
End,
he is a likable fellow.
Likeable chum. What about you, Adam? Adam's probably got.
I only have World War Z. That's the only movie that I am specifically not going to want to see. Yeah, I feel like a really cool movie could have come from that book, and they decided not to do that.
There's part of me that hopes someday a proper television version of that show happens.
Yeah, that could really work.
That's what I would.
It needs to be a multi-episode. Yeah.
I mean, you could have one season of them being in one country. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you could do. There's so many. You know, we could have 10 episodes on World War Z.
Right.
So, what about movies that you can't miss, Adam? I got a big list, but I bet you got a big list.
Well,
too.
I wanted to keep it kind of narrow, so like I have Man of Steel and Star Trek. We just saw Iron Man 3 today, so those are the obvious ones. I really want to see Kick-Ass 2.
Yep, I never saw the first one.
I liked Kick-Ass.
You never saw the first one?
I have it. I just never watched.
You owe it to yourself.
And I love the comic book. Comic book is really good.
It's really good.
There are some flaws in the third act, but it's a good film.
Yeah. My whole thing with that is I hear that it deviates from the comic in some major ways at the end of the film, and that sort of bugged me. I don't know what it was. I just like, why do you need to deviate from it? But people still love it anyway. So
yeah, this one could be terrible, but I don't have high expectations. I just want to see it because I feel like I'll still enjoy it.
I'm looking forward to Hit Girl 2 as well.
Yes, and This Is the End. You guys have seen it, but I'm really looking forward to it. But maybe the movie I'm most looking forward to is Elysium.
Which also is, on my list.
Yeah, which is the director of
Neil Vankenkopf, whatever his name.
District 9's director, and Matt Damon in a
Mel Gibson lover, Jodie Foster.
Not coming out till August.
No.
Is that a smart move?
Yes, it is a smart move.
Okay. It's like things definitely slow down drastically by then. And especially on
August 9th, Jared.
The sci-fi stuff kind of ends early July, I think, almost.
You've got August 2nd, you've got 300 Rise of an Empire. But beyond that, Kick-Ass 2 comes out the middle of August.
Yeah. So I think that's okay.
The Colony.
And I don't know this for sure. I didn't read enough about it. But District 9, despite its looks, was a really low-budget movie.
It was.
So I'm assuming that he's doing the same thing here. I'm guessing it has a bigger budget, but you know,
that expensive to film in a Mexican landfill.
Yeah, exactly. I love District 9. That movie stayed with me, and I rewatched it a couple times. It's
something else.
It's really good, yeah.
So there you go. Jared, why don't you go next?
I've got the big ones. I've got your Star Trek Into Darkness. I've got your Pacific Rim, which I'm very excited for. Man of Steel, of course. The Wolverine is on my list. I'm very, very excited for The Wolverine.
Finally, a solid Wolverine film. Think so?
Yep.
I mean, it looks better than the other one, right?
Yeah.
Is this Fox, they keep making those because they don't want to lose the X-Men license or something? What's happening?
No,
well, they're making an X-Men film, too.
As long as Wolverine is in the X-Men, I think that they keep that. I mean, it's some sort of convoluted way of whatever. There just needs to be active movies and active development.
And they're working on their own Marvel universe with the Fantastic Four getting rebooted and all that stuff.
Please tie it in with the Disney universe some way.
I've got Elysium and Kick-Ass 2, just like Adam. And This Is the End was on my list of films I wanted to see before even having seen it. So
cross
I was
it
very
off.
Excited to see that. The one film that I'm guessing neither of you will mention is Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Very excited for this. Yep. I've seen both the
trailers. Filmed in his house, right?
Yep. It took a little break from shooting Avengers and did a little film with his friends. It's got lots of my favorite people in it. I'm super, super excited.
Is that just a direct to iTunes?
No, theatrical. Oh, wow. That's coming out in theaters.
Okay,
June, I think.
I'll wrap this up. I could put in the Star Trek and stuff like that. I didn't really. The only big film that I put in was Iron Man 3. I have Elysium, which is...
Elysium, there's an interesting one.
Elysium or whatever. that's somewhat big. Then the other ones that you would not expect, I put in Despicable Me 2, because I love Despicable Me. It's one of our family favorite movies. It was really well done, and Steve Carell was awesome, and I think it would be a great movie. That's
what I
think.
Is that the same? Which studio did that?
It's DreamWorks, think.
Is that the same? Who did How to Train Your Dragon?
DreamWorks.
Okay. I think it's all.
That was a good. Yeah. I will check out.
I think Jared would really like Despicable Me. I really, really think so.
I just, those films get too slapsticky for me. That's what bothers me a lot of the times.
They need like an adult cut of those. It's hardcore porn.
That's right. So I've got two like smaller films that I put in. So I've got one. It's called the To Do List. It stars Aubrey Plaza and Bill Hader, and it's like a coming of age movies. It takes place in the 1990s. You know me, Jared. I love that shit. So I from what I understand, it's a bit randy, and it's sort of told from the girls' perspective there. So I'm excited about that. But
do you think that's going to be this summer's, what was our favorite movie last year?
Wallflowers?
Yeah.
I think that the other movie that I want to see, which I've been talking to Jared about, it's called The Way, Way Back, which is another sort of coming of age. It's got Steve Carell and Tony Collette, and it's about a 14-year-old kid that spends the summer at his mom's boyfriend's summer house, and the boyfriend's an asshole, played by Steve Carell, and the boy ends up getting a job at a local water park run by Sam Rockwell, and it's about him kind of finding himself, and it looks really, really good. It's a big Sundance film. Okay. When it plays here, it probably will open at the Lagoon and maybe a couple other places. Jared and I missed tickets for it by that much because they posted them during the commute to see This Is the End.
Yeah.
And that comes out in July. So that we would have seen that movie really early because I think the screening on that was next week. So that's the movie that I'm secretly really, really, really excited about.
Yeah, I love Sam Rockwell.
That's the one I want to see. So I'm excited. I think there's a lot to do this summer. At least for the first few months, there's almost a film a week to see. So should be very interesting.
And if we can knock out some of those midweek with some free passes, so much the better.
My guess is our shit list that we've established, or our big question mark list, we will end up seeing a good chunk of those films for free if things go as according to plan. So there you go. The 7th annual summer movie preview, scope style, is all done. But wait, summer's not over. We've got a review.
Summer hasn't even started.
For us, it's 40 fucking degrees outside. We will be reviewing Iron Man 3 hot off the press. We just came from the theater, or at least 3 hours ago, because that's how long the show has been. So we'll take a break. We'll be back right after the S.
For you, the Scope listener, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. So I put it out to the group for recommendations. They came back with nothing, so I had to find one on my own. I'm going to recommend, because it's going to be a miniseries on CBS this summer, I'm going to recommend Under the Dome by Stephen King, narrated by Raul Esparza. And here's a wonderful sample ripped from the website. Here we go.
From 2,000 feet, where Claudette Sanders was taking a flying lesson, the town of Chester's Mill gleamed in the morning light like something freshly made and just set down. Cars trundled along Main Street, flashing up winks of sun. The steeple of the Congo Church looked sharp enough to pierce the unblemished sky. The sun raced along the surface of Presteel Stream as the Seneca 5 overflew it, both plane and water cutting the town on the same diagonal course.
Chuck, I think I see two boys beside the Peace Bridge, fishing.
Her very delight made her laugh.
Stunning stuff there, guys. If you like that book, you can check out that book or any other book just by giving Audible a free trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/thescope and give yourself a free trial of Audible. I hear it's great.
Do it.
We get a little kickback. It helps the show. You know you want to. That's all I got to say.
All right.
I know you want to also.
Let's get back to the show.
Let's do it.
Right here.
We now return to the scope. Just for the hell of it.
Under the scope. Hey, everybody. It's Under the Scope. It's our romp through the world of current pop culture. Let's start with news. Let's throw it over to Adam. He is one of our best news researchers.
Best in the business.
Best
I
in
say.
The business. The guy never drops the ball. He's always got like four or five great stories.
If anything, he has to edit himself down.
Classic. He's got a classic delivery style. I mean, people come up to me on the street and they say, you know, the news on some podcast that you might be a part of, that's the highlight.
Worldwide leader in news.
Worldwide leader. I mean, he's got sources out there. He's got his ear to the pavement.
You guys know that we talked a lot about the trailers we watched today.
We did.
Did you know that a new study confirms that people think movie trailers give away too much and that they won't really do anything about it?
Great survey.
Wow. I mean, he's really not dropped the ball.
This is a study.
Who spent money on that?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know who did that. But
probably the NRA.
Adding cold statistical data to a hot internet topic to reach a rather lukewarm conclusion, a new study shows that 49% of Americans surveyed believe movie trailers these days give away too much of the film's best scenes.
You heard it here first.
And the other 80% just pirate the movies and couldn't give a crap.
Did you know that in Iceland... almost all media is pirated, is brought in through pirated means because Iceland, they speak Icelandic, right? They have their own language.
Yes.
But the country's too small, so no companies bothered like redubbing or subtitling to bring it to market there. So they just steal shit, like everything.
Did you know that, Ed?
This is news to me.
Isn't that weird? But even these relatively large numbers of people, the 49%, who believe that they've been spoiled on plot twists or standout scenes, overly revealing trailers, perhaps not surprisingly, have barely any impact on whether audiences will still see a movie. In fact, only 19% of the respondents said they've skipped a film after being spoiled by a plot-heavy preview. Have you guys ever felt frustrated by those things we talked about?
When Jared and I went, when you know, last summer, prior to summer, when all the trailers hit for the movie Battleship, and it totally gave everything away.
Who the aliens were,
Rihanna launching missiles, it was devastating.
All the drama was just sapped from the film.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we hated it so much.
I mean, I had to put myself on sort of a moratorium when it came to Iron Man 3 trailers, because it just trailer after trailer after trailer, and they started releasing clips, and it was just like, no, okay, I got to stop watching these things.
That being said, it was a four-hour-long movie or something, so they couldn't have given away too much.
Iron Man 3?
Yeah.
It wasn't 4 hours.
Felt like it. Next up, do you guys listen to or watch Loveline?
Dr. Drew.
Yeah. Way back in the day, yeah.
Dr. Drew was on there. Adam Carolla got his career start
I started
there.
Listening when Ricky Rackman was still part of the group.
He was at the very tail end of it when Jared was listening. Yep.
Well, now Dr. Drew does other stuff.
Sure he does.
But
kill celebrities.
Exactly. Well, because of that, he's no longer going to be on Celebrity Rehab. After 6 seasons of helping troubled stars face their addictions while also facing his face, Dr. Drew Pinsky has decided he can no longer keep doing Celebrity Rehab.
He was on Stern recently talking about that.
Oh, did he?
Didn't quite own up to much.
He said, it's very stressful and very intense for me when other people die. He said in a recent radio interview referring to the deaths of... It's a lot of people that died after being on Celebrity Rehab. Mindy McCready, Jeff Conaway, Rodney King, Mike Starr, and Joey Kavar. All these people died? Or are they just the deaths of former, I guess.
Let's be fair about something.
He killed them, right? Is that what you're
going to say? These people were in really rough shape before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I actually think that the crap that he gets is a little overblown, if you want to know the truth.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I don't know about putting these famous people on TV and, you know, kind of following them around. Because I think a lot of them have alternate or ulterior motives. Like, yeah. we're gonna use this as a stepping stone.
Sure, sure.
So it's a lot of people using each other. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that they're very sick people, and they could easily died without a news video camera following them in a burned out hotel room.
I think you have to look at statistics and see how many people who are substance abusers who are at that advanced stage. Yeah. What percent of them die? Just die because of it. I mean, I wouldn't think that just being on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew is somehow elevates the rate of death to those types of people.
Yeah. And then you think about all the good work Dr. Drew has done on Loveline, where I don't think it's about ego or anything like that. I think he's helped a lot of people and helped educate a lot of people. Right. So
I'm not saying,
cut him a little slack.
I'm not saying that a show like Celebrity Rehab isn't exploitive.
Yeah, it is. It
certainly is, but the parties involved are certainly aware of that, though, too. Yeah. So, I mean...
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, I know what you're not going to do.
What?
And that's watch American Idol, whose ratings... are at their lowest ever.
How bad are they?
We stopped watching this year, so...
This was the year that did it. What was it? Was it the judges, the contestants? Well,
Carrie started watching it, uh-huh. And I think that it was just the fact that the judges weren't great, the contestants weren't that great, and it's a format that's been done to death.
What do you guys... do you watch a singing show now?
Carrie watches The Voice,
mm-hmm.
And I will watch with her sometimes, but even that gets a little tiresome because it's... essentially a singing competition. It's more interesting in the blind auditions because it's different.
Sure.
But once you actually get to see them and it's the same show.
You sing, people vote,
yep.
Somebody goes home.
Yeah.
Same thing.
What's the next big thing?
I don't know.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Think that'll come back?
I just think...
You are the weakest link.
I think that in general, reality TV, whether it be game shows or, you know, more of like a docudrama, which you don't really see on network TV.
No.
That's more than the realm of cable. Mm-hmm.
But the docudramas on cables are doing killer ratings.
I don't understand why regular networks don't try to do a show
like a Housewives type show?
Housewives or Duck Dynasty. Catch, something like that, you know, is reality-ish. But I just think that in general, the population, we've seen it. You know, it's not something new, so you're not going to be wowed by it like when Survivor came out and you're like, what the?
Maybe,
people marooned on an island competing? What's this all about?
I think maybe we take a cue from the Romans. When a gladiatorial fight is not no longer interesting, people have seen it, they're done there, they start releasing wild carnivores.
All right.
Into the arena with the gladiators. So now they're fighting each other and animals. So I'm thinking we need to get some... giant cats on American,
I think,
Idol.
You say up the ante.
I'm just thinking if you can nail a Bon Jovi song while a Bengal tiger is chasing you around the stage, that's some talent.
I like it. Is this the last year for American Idol? It still gets okay ratings,
no,
right?
No, it'll go on.
Just for the specifics, only 11 million viewers tuned in. The show only had a 2.5 rating for the 18 to 49 demographic, which was down 7% from last week's all-time low.
So has their audience sort of aged out of the key demo now? Is that the problem too?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
This is funny. For more mortal shows, a 2.5 rating is acceptable, and you would be downright great if you're, say, ABC's Friday night reality series Shark Tank. But for Idol, a program that utterly dominated broadcast entertainment series many years ago, this is crazy low. Crazy low.
I think what they need to do for American Idol is they need to phase it out. You need to bring Ryan Seacrest over to X Factor because I think he's good at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have one show like that. That's what you do. And I'm not saying I would not watch X Factor, but I think that's the smart play. You have to bank on Simon, you have to bank on Ryan, and you have to hope that they can revitalize the format, I don't think they would.
You're saying get the band back together.
I say get the band back
Although,
together.
Maybe not Paula.
Right.
That's what I think. Problem solved. Next.
We'll end it on that. I like the discussion we had going. It was good.
Well, great news, Adam. It's very clear that you spent a lot of time researching those and getting those stories and presenting them.
I think it's good that we get to discuss while we talk about the news, and it's not just me reading to you guys and lecturing.
We love it when you lecture. We love it. Right, Jared?
Yeah.
He's out.
They'll never even know.
They'll never know. So let's move on to the next segment in Under the Scope. We like to call it Reviews.
This is one we haven't done in-show in a while.
We haven't done a review in-show. We are talking about a film we saw a few scant hours ago Of course, it's the summer blockbuster to be Iron Man 3. Adam, what was this film about? I'm sure you have it written up.
This movie was about a man struggling through a mineral deficiency, iron specifically.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
He has
a lot of liver eating
supplements to achieve. And an iron spider bites him, and he gets the powers of that iron
spider. I saw a completely different film.
That iron spider, by the way, was from Wild Wild West. Everyone remembers that.
Is he from? Is he like an alien from another planet too?
Yes,
like the last son of a dying planet.
Right. He's a Martian Manhunter. Is actually what he's nicknamed in some cases. That's like for comic book fans. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. Don't worry about it, nerds.
This is a movie that starred Jared. You said it best on Twitter. That seemed to star Guy Pearce as Val Kilmer in The Saint.
I didn't say that.
You didn't?
No.
Someone did.
I wish I had.
Man, because that character at the beginning that Guy Pearce plays looks exactly like a character.
I know exactly.
Right?
I've never even seen The Saint, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
100%. I'm sorry I attributed that to you, Jared.
No, that's
not
great.
Someone else.
So far, a great summary
great
of the
comparison.
Film. We're talking about Guy Pearce.
You're
overbite.
The one that usually does these copy and paste jobs. Iron Man is
he's
sad.
Back.
He's got PTSD. I like that the little 8-year-old called him out on that from going through the wormhole in the Avengers. So this happens after the Avengers.
Feeling insignificant in his life.
Right.
Compared to the gods and monsters that he fights alongside.
Exactly. And a lot of his job has been, kind of taken over by the government, too, because of his friend.
And that damn Pepper Potts.
Yeah. And Pepper Potts. And so the movie starts with a flashback to 1999 and a great song, Blue.
Asshole Tony Stark.
Yep. Banging, slaying chicks and... Yep. Hanging out with bros.
The whole idea of the movie is
Fat John Favreau's back.
Yep, with Vincent Vega hair from Pulp Fiction. But I think the overall plot on this, or the theme of this movie, Jared, is things that you do in your past will eventually come around and resurface in your future, and Tony has to deal with those.
And
things.
It's not done in a very subtle way.
No,
right.
So Tony has a run in with some nerdy scientists. He sort of disses them like he disses a lot of people.
Right. Bangs one, sends the other one, pranks the other one.
Yep. Who have ideas on, how they can advance technology.
I just realized I have my clip ties into the whole PTSD thing. I should have played it then.
Nice. So, and then eventually some of these people come into Tony's life a little bit later.
Yeah.
And
drastically change their motivations and everything to be villains, Because that's the villain.
And at the same time, there's a giant terroristic threat by the name of the Mandarin, a big villain in the Marvel Universe. And he is...
Not anymore.
he is killing people and torturing and also ruining Tony Stark's life.
Yes.
But let's get back to what Jared was talking about with the post-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
And how Tony Stark is dealing with that post-giant Avengers battle in New York City.
Nothing's been the same since New York.
God, what a tie-in.
Oh, really?
Damn.
I didn't notice that at all.
You experience things, and then they're over, and you still can't explain them? Gods, aliens, other dimensions? I'm just a man in a can. The only reason I haven't cracked up is probably because you moved in, which is great. I love you. I'm lucky. But, honey, I can't sleep. You go to bed. I come down here. I do what I know. I tinker. Threat is imminent, and I have to protect the one thing that I can't live without. That's you. And my suits, they're,
machines.
They're part of me.
A distraction.
Maybe.
It's a little lovey-dovey part. I got faded out.
Nice.
All over.
He was finger banging her right there.
Yeah. They barely got that PG-13 rating.
Yeah.
So essentially, let's get down to brass tacks. The movie's about Tony dealing with his stress, dealing with the downfall of his world while also fighting on the Mandarin and
the Mandarin
and
is
the demons
this big
that he
terrorist
has.
Who's there's been bombings around the world, some that the public knows about, others that they don't know about.
Tony calls him out publicly and then gets his ass handed to him, and then it's about Tony kind of regathering his life and fighting the Mandarin once and for all. Throughout the movie, you've got other threats. You've got Pepper in danger. You've got some comedic takes by Jarvis, the automated, I don't know, artificial intelligence. Yeah,
the OS.
Very little Jon Favreau and very little Iron Man armor, except till the end.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the movie. We won't get into spoilers too much. But
We won't?
Well, we'll see.
We kind of have to.
Okay, we'll do our best. So, spoiler alert, officially, do we have some sort of klaxon?
No. maybe? Hold on.
Spoiler alert.
Here.
There you go.
The weakest klaxon ever.
This?
The ship's coming in the harbor.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
It's like a sonar ping.
So I'm going to look at Adam first. He's wearing a shirt today that's a pterodactyl armed to the teeth.
It's a pterodactyl.
I like it. He's just bought a house, everybody, and he's got a lot to say about his down payment. And then after that, he's going to talk about Iron Man 3. Go ahead.
I like this movie. It struck me near the end that, man, there hasn't been all that much Iron Manning happening in this movie.
It struck me very early on that there hasn't been much.
So I guess it didn't bother me then. I don't know. I liked the scenes with him hanging out with the suit that was broken. Though then, as soon as he told Jarvis, hey, go ahead and send all 50 Iron Man suits my way, I was like, wait, why didn't he just do that, you know, half an hour ago?
Duh.
Right. And
you can see where Jared's coming from.
And I really thought that. So, in a lot of cases, like, this is not a weird origin for a villain. You know, like, they wanted to do something great. Like, this is the same as the Lizard from the most recent Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, wanted to do. In fact, it's the exact same technology. I'm realizing now that
the Extremis.
Ray, whatever. Wanted.
It's very similar.
To build.
Yes.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Rating going down.
But. It's weird when someone goes from, you know, oh, I want to do good, to then being like, nope, it's all about the cold hard kizash, and I'm gonna rule the world,
sticking it to America,
and just
saying it to Tony Stark,
killing as many people as possible,
and the president,
for no real reason,
because of oil,
like, unless maybe that technology fried his brain a little bit.
Oh, well, okay. But, like, it didn't fry. Oh, wait. Yeah.
Everybody that had it was sort of evil.
They were. But Pepper had it.
Well, this is part of the problem. They didn't explain what the heck the Extremis was really about.
Yeah.
And what its capabilities were, what its side effects were.
You could breathe fire. That's one of the.
What the fuck?
Jared.
I'm sorry.
Also, I'm a little upset that they. And this is not because of what happened to Guy Pearce, that the Mandarin character can't exist in the Marvel Universe now. As he, you know, his real origin and his real, like, magic rings and shit.
I actually thought that it was a clever way of doing it without bringing magic into the equation. I thought that was clever.
But, I mean,
it
was terrible. There's already magic with the Avengers.
How do you do that to the Iron Man's, supposedly, his number one nemesis?
Right.
I understand you could reinvent him, you could do a different thing, you could take the magic out of it. But how do you just say, just made him up, just some actor playing him. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
Well,
once that was revealed, I was done with the film.
Oh my!
Completely done.
Well, it doesn't mean that you can't actually have a Mandarin, you know.
I feel like now they can't. It would be too hard for them to, like, retroactively be like unless something happens to Ben Kingsley in jail, like, you know.
Oh, I like that.
A magical thing, you know, comes down and is like, you're going to now actually be a bad guy.
There you go. We've got it.
Adam. I felt completely duped. And I realized that
you felt like a rube.
They did a good job of covering this up and not exposing this, because if you watch the trailers and stuff, you never get any hint that this is what they're going to do. But once they suddenly pull the rug out from under you and it's all a sham, I just felt taken.
Jared felt abused.
Very upset with that.
I was not as upset as Jared was, but I felt like it was a silly use of, you know, like
a big time character. Yes, I can see your points of view on that. I think that's acceptable. Carry on.
I'm not even that invested in Iron Man and the Mandarin. I just think it's a huge disservice to fans, especially comic book fans.
It'd be like taking the Joker of Batman and then turning him into a balloon clown guy.
Sure. Just one of these things.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I get it.
But I mean, I liked. You know, I loved all the set pieces.
The banter.
I always liked the banter. My biggest concern watching this movie and afterwards is will Robert Downey Jr., you know, re-up his contract? Because no one else can play that character.
Yeah. I mean, he'll be in Avengers 2. That's, right. That's I know about the only thing that they've said.
Right. And
they haven't even committed to that, by the way.
Oh, I thought there was a contract for...
His contract is fulfilled at this point.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
They're renegotiating right now.
So it's like...
a lot of money.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, totally deserves it. I don't think this movie... I don't think the series is worth a damn with, you know, even a good... like any, you know, random good actor.
There may not be another Iron Man movie after this. I think that maybe...
the way they ended it, you could easily shut the book on him. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you could probably do that with all of them. I guess, well, no, I guess...
I mean, they left the door open. They left the door open, but they could definitely make a clean break here.
Yeah. I hope they don't. I really like that character, and I really feel like they do a good job. So, like, one of the best things about the Tony Stark character in Marvel is that, you know, like, the whole notion of demons and stuff is generally about his alcoholism or his, you know, issues with women and stuff like that. And they, like, they don't spend a lot of time on it, but they do a good job dealing with it as, you know, a manifestation in terms of anxiety attacks and stuff like that in this movie.
It's like a PG-13 version of those demons.
Yeah. And I like that. I like the way the movie works, and I like the characters in it. I just thought that a lot, you know, some of those villain. I think the villain is maybe more important in a comic book movie than the hero, especially after you get past the first one, because it's not origin story
this
anymore.
This one had a shitty villain.
And yes, I don't like what they did with the villain, but I like the other parts
I think
of the
that
movie
in all the Iron Man movies, they've struggled with the villain.
That's true. That's always been
the weakness.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So let's get a dissenting opinion. You can tell by some of the comments Jared's made that he doesn't quite feel the same as Adam. Jared, let's throw it over to you. What in this movie affected you so negatively?
Problem first, not a lot Iron Man. There's a lot of time, and I was sort of prepared for this because a lot of the articles and stuff leading up to it were about how this was getting Iron Man out, or Tony Stark out of the suit.
Yeah.
And he spent an awful lot of time out of the suit. He didn't really seem to have a functioning suit at the beginning of the film. He spends a good chunk of the middle of the film not in the suit at all, and it's broken, and he's in another part of the country.
Yeah.
And then he spends the third act of the film hopping in and out of other suits or just remotely controlling them. Correct me if I'm wrong, is the whole remote controlling of suits a thing in the Iron Man universe?
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, probably is. I don't like it. To me, having Tony Stark in the suit is sort of to the core of that character,
right?
And to have him just standing somewhere, just remote controlling a bunch of suits, just seems completely
right. It should at least
there's nothing to it. It just seems boring.
There should be some drawback, like it's not as fast or something. Yeah. When that happens,
I don't know. I didn't like that. The villain/villains were bad. And we've already talked about how I think that their treatment of the Mandarin was ridiculous, and it just completely. There's so much history to that character in the Marvel Universe. For them to just completely discount all of that and just go, nope, just something we fabricated just to distract people from the real villain.
Yeah.
Just like a dagger in the side.
I got to be honest with you. I think that Adam's take on him, the actual actor playing the Mandarin.
Ben Kingsley?
Not Ben Kingsley, but the guy and the whatever. I think that him getting that sort of power makes perfect sense. Like, it's a setup for actually having a real legitimate.
Okay. If they went in that direction, then consider it a redeeming move. Yeah.
But as of right now, it's
terrible.
All speculation.
Dude. Guy Pearce, his villain is terrible. I mean, he's so one dimensional. Yeah. There's nothing to him, and it's like Adam said, he went from wanting to save the world to becoming just corporate greed, and somehow kill the president over some oil spill that's just sort of incidentally mentioned at the end of the film. There's no setup to it at all. It's just like, meh, there was an oil spill, and look how poetic. We're on the same ship that's been in here, whatever.
Yeah, Obama.
Once again, it all comes back
to
Obama.
The whole magic extremis serum or whatever, it's not really explained. I mean, obviously it gives you some, and obviously we're deep into spoilers here. It allows you to regrow limbs and stuff, but
it's unstable, so it could also make you explode.
How does that work? Does it make you explode if you don't control it? How do you breathe fire? Where do you get the ability to somehow just melt metal?
he was just really good at it.
I understand that you can regrow limbs and probably have a certain amount of healing factor, but that doesn't make you invulnerable to a punch from an iron suit.
Yeah, I think it's all about control. Like the people that had it were in control of how they could use it. Okay. Other people that didn't have control exploded.
Sure,
and maybe spend
5 minutes explaining this a little better.
I agree.
That plant was not in control at the beginning. No.
The fact that just about anyone can jump into an Iron Man suit and control it perfectly bothers the shit out of me. They've done this. I mean, when Rhodey jumped into the War Machine suit in the second film, they sort of did the same thing.
Yeah.
Bothers me, though. How can Pepper Potts jump into a suit? Oh, sure. I can shoot stuff and move around. No problem. I know how to control this.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Especially
think so.
When now I'm realizing at the end, he was like, no, Rhodey, you can't have any of the suits. They're all, you know, keyed to my genetics.
Well, just say Jarvis, key it to his. Right. You know?
I just think there's huge problems with the plot. I just think that there's... some of the humor fell flat. There's a lot too much slapsticky moments in there. The middle part with when he's in Tennessee with the kid just was boring. I mean, it was like he was like in James Bond mode, or I don't know. He's trying to it just didn't feel like an Iron Man film at all.
I like that stuff in Tennessee.
I'm so frustrated by the whole experience.
You spend a lot of time in Tennessee in your job, so of course you would like it.
No, I don't. It just by the time we got to the big Iron Man scene where he's rescuing people falling out of a plane, I was just so out of the film that it did.
And there probably
did nothing for me.
There probably should have been two or three more scenes like that in the movie earlier on.
Yes,
probably.
Open with an Iron Man scene. I don't know. I'm obviously frustrated by the whole experience of it. And
I think what you're saying is that with some movies like this, you can have plots that maybe go nowhere or confusing if the wrapper of the movie is so excellent that it takes that away from your brain and you don't need to think about it. And for you, that did not happen because everything else is sort of like systematic failure. I think the one word that I would use on this would be disjointed. That's my big issue. And, I don't have a problem with not having Iron Man and then, really featuring Iron Man to say, hey, that's what makes it cool. It's like, we don't need to have him all the time. But like you said, there are certain things in this film. Like, to me, the whole kid thing in Tennessee is, that really blows my mind. I mean, that whole thing was like, it didn't even need to be there. That all he did is go there to get that file from the mom. That was it.
And he ended up there accidentally.
Yeah, it was like, and then you sort of have this key, you have some fun banter with the kid, which it was well written, I think, but it just felt like, oh, now we're going to have him interact with the kid. It just seemed corny to me.
I'm guessing that plot is from a comic book and they were just doing fan service, but that's just total guess.
I mean, don't you think that it seemed like out of place? I didn't like how like in especially the second one, they beef Pepper Potts up as a character who can kind of take care of herself.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this one, she is, the majority of it, she's a damsel in distress. I mean, he's...
Yeah, but at the end, she's the one.
Yeah,
but
it was all accidental. At the end, it was, because she was injected with the serum, then she could defend herself. It just seemed like... I didn't like how they treated her.
One quick more point about the ending, too. So if you blow up the villain who's inside an Iron Man suit, and that's not enough to take care of him, I think blowing him up again somehow magically is enough to take care of him?
He was weakened.
Okay, sure. Anyway, that's enough.
But
I've complained enough about it.
That being said, I also go back to Adam and his feelings on it, which is I really like the characters. Robert Downey Jr. is this guy, and he can turn shitty stuff into greatness. And this stuff I wouldn't say is shitty, but it's definitely not the best. I can say this for Iron Man. Like, the other two films, for me, got better when I rewatched them. Like, the second one, I was a bit critical of when I left the theater. But when I watched it again, I think that it was better. I think it was a better film.
Right now,
I don't know if
right
this
now,
movie
I
will
think,
do that.
Right now, I think 2 is way better than 3. That's my opinion. And 1 will still always be the best, even with its 5-minute boss battle at the end.
Yeah.
But
so it's a bit of hit and miss. It has a lot of what you like about Tony Stark in it. It doesn't have as much of the Iron Man, or very little. And the plot is maybe a little too superhero-y for its own good, or when it's not doing that, it's a little too clever and precious with how they treat the villains.
It just bothers me that it's the film is Iron Man, but then they don't want to have Iron Man. I mean, we've had this argument with Batman films.
They do
in the
it
past
to make
too.
You appreciate Iron Man.
Right.
Like, you, oh, we're not going to have him in there, so when he is there, you're really going to appreciate it. But I think that you and can write better than that.
But they introduce all these other Iron Man suits, like, I want to see these things. And other, most of the time, you got, like, a two-second glimpse of them.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then they would cut in half by Guy Pearce and his metal hand, yeah. His metal dissolving hands.
The other thing, how it ends with Tony, you know, saying, doing the fresh start where he essentially explodes all the
clean
iron.
Clean slate?
That
fucking
bullshit is what that is, right?
That was bullshit.
I mean, of course he's going to make more Iron Man suits.
Yeah. What does he care?
Why would he blow them all up?
Just to show Pepper that he loves her.
Yeah. Why?
This is pretty.
It's dumb.
I love that they not only explode, they explode as fireworks.
To me, that was just freaking cherry on top of a shit sundae. I want to put my score down on even lower now.
Well, maybe you can do that. So what we've decided on the scope is this is going to get a split decision.
It happens from time to time.
Jared's going to give it a score. Adam and I are kind of give it a score. But I'm going to say that after thinking about it, I might be a little lower than the score we're going to give. I'm sort of somewhere in the middle. But let's give Jared's score first.
The scope score is 1.5 star.
And let's give Adam's score.
The scope score is 2.75 stars.
Why are you calling it my score? It was our score.
It's our score, but I think I might drop it.
That's too late.
I mean, you voted
for Obama, and you have to live with it.
And look what my life is.
A lot of my opinion.
White House down.
A lot of my opinion may be relative to what my hopes and expectations were going in. But
I don't think that any of this stuff is going to ruin the box office.
No, no.
I mean, the reviews have been great on this movie, so who knew?
I just was very, very disappointed. Who knew? So. Oh, I keep meaning to ask you, I know Extremis is a thing in the comics. How does it resemble anything to do with the film representation?
I thought what Extremis was the, was how that armor interacted, like automatically popped onto Tony.
Yeah, because I thought he had something like some sort of virus or something injected into him, and then the suit became part of him.
I believe that's what it is. It's a lot, so the same in name.
They had that sort of element, but it wasn't what the Extremis was in the film. Okay.
One note, they were giving away free posters, Iron Man 3 posters for kids, and they gave one to Audrey, and we forgot it at the theater. And she started crying in the car, so I'm like, well, you can get them posters at Target and Toys R Us. But we drove by our local comic book store, and I'm like, oh, I'm sure they have Iron Man posters there. And then it was free comic book day. So Carrie and Audrey, during the scope, went to a comic book store on their own to buy a movie poster and then get a bunch of free comics. And my wife texted me and said, Audrey is burning through her free comics. So I don't know what what this world is going to, but that might be the most bizarre story of the day, that Carrie would go to a comic book store on her own free will.
Nice. Audrey's first exposure to actual comic books?
No, she used to go to the comic book store with me all the time.
But as far as reading comics?
But she would read comics. Like, I would buy her a Scooby-Doo and I'd have to read it or something like that. But anything anything that's like superhero related, no. So we'll see how it goes. So that might be the happiest story of the bunch.
I like it.
So there we go. So let's wrap this up and let's move into our final segment of Under the Scope. It's coming soon. Adam, you have the coming soon list?
I do.
All right. Well, why don't you kick it off for us?
All right. So first we've got music coming out May 7th.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I see the word May,
but it doesn't feel like it. I mean, it could be February 7th.
So, 98 Degrees. They have an album. So, wait. Is 98 Degrees Nick Lachey's band?
That is Nick Lachey's band, yes.
So, what's the deal here? What's happening?
I couldn't tell you. It's 2.0. Right. They're 2.0. back. They're they're retooled.
Speaking of back and retooled for the next generation, Goo Goo Dolls have a new album coming out.
They do.
Wait, is there like a Nicolas Cage tearjerker coming out that I don't know about?
There is.
It's called Natalie Maines. She has a new album also. Natalie Maines from the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah, it's a bunch of...
from the... what's it called?
She's got a couple covers. She's from the Country Dixie Ladies. Chicks.
Remember when Nick Cage was like a leading man type?
He was. But he was sort of a weird leading man. And now he's just weird. Go ahead.
He named his kid Kal-El, and it was all downhill after that.
You said it.
Fits in the Tantrums have an album coming out.
That's probably my most eagerly anticipated.
I do not like that. I don't get it. We reviewed the first album.
Yeah.
I liked it. This one's supposed to be different.
Lady Antebellum.
More, of course, more retro.
I do feel like the first album, while it did have a lot of hip hop, not enough hip hop. She and Him have an album coming out. Mm-hmm. So if you'd like Benny to talk like this, you can
work together.
Enjoy that. And Vampire Weekend has a new album coming out.
Their first song has been played on the radio quite a bit.
I have not heard it, but the three reviews.
It sounds way different.
The three reviews on Metacritic so far are 80, 90, and a 20. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
May 14th, Amy Grant
Jared,
has an album coming out.
You love her.
What? Wait. I'm burying the lead here.
Whoa.
Bobby McFerrin has a new album coming out.
What's it called?
Spirit, you all.
One word. Jared's going to do a...
I think you added this one because you just like it when we have cool band names.
Yep.
Captain, we're sinking. The future is canceled.
Yes.
Is that the whole band name?
I think the name of the band is Captain... We're sinking.
Okay, and then the future is canceled.
Yeah, isn't that a great name? Yeah.
Darius Rucker has an album coming out. I was just thinking about Hootie
and
the
Blowfish
well.
The other day. He's doing well. That guy is doing well.
Yeah,
it's
good crazy. Demi Moore has a new album coming out called Demi Lovato. And what? Wait! The Spin Doctors have an album coming out. Two Princes?
What? It's back to the 90s, bitches.
Holy
hey,
crap.
Your favorite Spin Doctors song, was it Two Princes?
Two Princes by far.
Not Little Miss Can't Be Wrong?
Oh, I hate that song.
I think it was Little Miss Can't Be Wrong.
No, Two Princes is great.
Hmm. All right.
It's great. Pocketful of Kryptonite, also on that album, terrible. Because I own that.
Well, the name of the album was Pocketful
of
Kryptonite.
Yeah, and they had a song there called Pocketful of Kryptonite.
I'll just go and listen to it. Movies, May 10th, The Great Gatsby, and Peoples.
That's
what's his face?
Craig Robinson?
Yeah, but People, it's what's his face? The black guy on TV.
David Alan Greer is in it as well.
Who, it's this guy's, who the black guy dresses in drag all the time. And
is that
who
one of his?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Jackie Robinson's Peoples.
Why can't I think of that guy's name?
Right? It's going to bug me. Well, anyway, you find it.
I'll find it.
May 17th, Star Trek Into Darkness. Actually, May 15th. It's a Wednesday release. I won't be seeing it till Saturday morning. Are you guys going to see it opening weekend, too? Star Trek?
Maybe. Hopefully. We haven't talked plans yet.
Yeah.
DVD and Blu-ray, May 7th, Fringe Season 5, the last season. I still think that was a good overall way to wrap up that show.
It ended all right.
Yeah. I think it ended better than Lost ended. Jack Reacher also comes out. May 14th, Dexter Season 7. Not the final season of Dexter. VR
nope,
Troopers.
One more to go.
Yeah, Season 2. What's VR Troopers?
That so it was like a... it was a...
Super Troopers.
Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
Follow-up. I mean, they didn't have Power Rangers, but it was like that. Take Japanese...
Like Superhero Samurai Cyber Squad.
Yeah, take Japanese footage, put some Americans in it, put it on
Was
Fox
the Pink
Kids.
Ranger cute in that one, too?
No, it was. I don't even know if there were any girls on that team.
Video games, May 5th, Nothing of Note.
Yep.
I'm interested for that one.
Yeah, you might like it.
And May 12th, Metro Last Light, follow-up to the weird Eastern European Metro first-person shooter games. Also, Dust 514, which is a PS3 exclusive. That is a game set in the EVE Online universe. So if you have ever played EVE Online, there's some... this is a first-person shooter, but it interacts with the MMO. EVE Online.
It's amazing that you know all that stuff.
EVE Fest was just this past week, gotcha. So I've learned a lot about that.
Quick video in question. Did you download Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon?
I was waiting to talk to you about it to make sure
I'm playing it now.
Okay, so is there any multiplayer stuff in
No,
it's
essentially like a one island of...
Oh, I know that. I just wanted to make sure because now I can get it on Steam or something. I would really like to 100% Far Cry 3.
I know.
I think some of the achievements are multiplayer only.
They are.
So
a good chunk of them
at some point we have... Do not sell it.
We've talked about it, we and we will do it.
All right,
Jared. So there you go. Under the Scope is done.
How do I end this thing? Here we go.
He forgets.
Under the Scope.
So guess what? It's the end of the show.
End of the show.
And this is where Jared comes in to spew more hatred towards Tony Stark. Go!
This is where I would normally read comments or play comments.
That's sort
we
of
We don't seem
fault,
to have any comments.
It's our fault. We don't do the show enough, do we?
I guess...
Hey, is there a reason they don't have Superman in the name of Man of Steel? Is that a thing? Is there a reason?
Trying to make
that?
a clean break. Clean break from the
all the Superman uniforms are going
to
explode now.
I think it's probably similar to how the Batman films use his special name, whatever they call it, the Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. Okay.
So it's Man of Steel, not Superman. It's the Dark Knight, not Batman.
Gotcha.
My prediction for Man of Steel, Jared.
Yes.
All the good faith and goodwill that they've gotten for great trailers for Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Is going to be eliminated when the actual plots of the movie starts coming to light and people are going to find that it's way different than what you're expecting.
That's what I think. I've read one rumor of one thing that is
probably in the film, and I am bothered by it. So
me too.
Yeah.
So get ready, folks.
No spoilers on that one, but
Jews.
If you've got any opinions about the coming summer films, maybe you hate me for not liking Iron Man 3 as much as I should have, you can write us in at comments@thescopeshow.com. You can also call our voicemail line, 612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673. Long distance starters may apply.
Oh.
When was the last time you heard that?
No, about 6 seconds ago.
No, I mean, like,
oh, before that.
Prior to my utterance of the words.
It's a really good question.
It's just that you used to hear it all the time, and now you don't.
I still say texting charges might apply. That's sort of the new generation of that.
Well, this phone number, I will accept texts as well, but I will probably not look for those.
Yeah. Be awfully hard to find you.
You should also like us on Facebook. We have a fan page. You can follow us on Twitter. And you can also follow us on Tumblr, where we're trying to... Though less consistently lately, but still trying to post some nerdy news stories as they hit. So check that out. That's at thescopeshow.tumblr.com.
I expect we'll be having a little bit more of a presence in the podcasting world with the summer movies, because we'll be kicking out regular content on that, hopefully.
We've also, like, as Shane mentioned, we've got the pending review of This Is the End, which we saw super, super early. That'll come out probably in the next few weeks here.
Jared and I went out in a blizzard, or at least a blizzard warning that never came.
To be a blizzard. Yeah, we never got, by the morning, we still had nothing.
Nothing.
So. That's really all I have.
Well, this has been a great show.
Yeah, I agree. The news especially was well done.
The news was, you know, just
timely.
Immaculate. Timely.
Right on top of it.
Right on top of it. So let's wrap this thing up, guys. Summer's upon us. For Jared, Adam, and Shane, this is Shane saying a river dirty. We'll see you next time on The Scope, guys. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.